Thank you for downloading episode 2 of Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy. All other episodes can be found on iTunes and Audioboo. For more information, visit GemmaArrowsmith.com. In the last episode of Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy, Madeleine Delaney, MP for Hardwick, a small constituency on the South Coast, still refuses to resign despite growing pressure from the opposition. I'm driving back now, just going through Neffas Wood. Can't see a bloody thing. You crashed into the pensioner's minibus. Who are you? Your guide to the afterlife. Fine, so off to heaven then, let's do it. I'm afraid it's not as easy as that. This is the fair circle of hell. In it are all the world's charlatans and con artists. Their punishment is to have slightly sticky hands for all eternity. Jesus. And this is the first circle. Christ, what's up ahead? You'll see. Fine. But do we have to walk? Can we get a cab or something? Here we are, Madeleine. The next circle of hell. Hold on. Come on, keep up.
Can I just have a rest here?
You take a seat, then I'll read you this poem I wrote about a really awful breakup I had. Suddenly found loads of energy, let's go. This is the fifth circle of hell, home of the vain and lazy. Here, amongst others, is everyone who ever wanted to be a princess. What's wrong with being a princess? Perfectly good career path for a young woman. Take a look.
Princess party for your little girl's birthday, because every little girl wants to be a princess for some reason. Princess parties have everything: dresses, jewelry, a full gynecological exam to make sure you're fertile. Just listen to some of these happy little girls.
I've given up my right to vote. I feel just like a princess. I have the current state of my uterus discussed by the national media. I don't have a career, even if I want one.
There's no jelly or ice cream at a princess party because they're fattening and you want to look nice in your Stella McCartney dress, don't you? That's why our princess parties start with a BMI measurement and ensure you eat 500 calories under your daily allowance. Just listen to some of these satisfied mums.
My daughter had such fun and learnt so many valuable lessons at the princess party last week. She used to be outspoken and try hard at school, used to mention something about wanting to work in stem cell research when she grows up. But now she's silent, totally passive, and just sits in her room waiting for a husband. So thanks, Princess Party, for fulfilling every little girl's dream.
Princess parties include a really boring entertainer, so your little girl can practice smiling and not falling asleep. Opinions are tiring anyway, and they probably make you ugly. Remember the golden rules of being a princess: wait, marry, and have babies. And that's it. Then it's just 40 or 50 years of smiling, waving, and declaring buildings open. Your marriage and pregnancy will literally be the only things that matter about you. Doing stuff is for those ordinary girls.
I wish my parents had hosted a princess party for my birthday when I was little. Now I'm nearly 30 and I'm still not a princess because I was conceived in the womb of a research biologist. But I'm still confident I will be one day, and then I'll have no responsibilities other than reproducing and securing the royal bloodline for another generation.
Bonjour, I am Christine Lagarde and I am Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund.
Oh, so I've had a baby and opened a supermarket. Plus I look really nice in this dress. It's expensive, so it's important. Princess parties! Because being a princess is for everyone, except non-Protestants, adopted children, and the offspring of unmarried parents, and gay people. And if they could be white, that'd be great. It's not a thing, but, you know. Remember, you could be anyone. It's your husband and child that are important.
Right, Daily Mail latest edition. This is going out on the 18th sol of the third lunar cycle, 4500 BC. Has anyone been able to find out what the C stands for? No? Carrying on. Okay, article about how the latest technology is making us less connected to the world around us. Like, my nephew always has to have the latest gadget. Stone cutting tools, projectile points for hunting. Something about, is this what our forefathers fought prey with their bare hands for? To bring up a generation who don't even know where their food comes from and just stares at these handheld devices all day. Okay, next page. Article about how this generation is the most godless yet. Some of them think the flaming orb doesn't watch over us and protect us from evil, for goodness sake. This country is going to the domesticated wolves. Okay, I've had this idea. I think we can make people feel bad about how they look by showing them cave paintings of the most desirable mating partners. But here's the interesting thing. I think we can also show cave paintings of the most desirable mating partners looking bad, and then that makes people feel good again. So we have this article about Car, you know, the girl from the next village who does that throat singing that everyone comes to see. And we say, ugh, look at the thick pelt of fur on her legs.
But that's normal. It's to prevent hypothermia.
It doesn't matter that it's normal. We can make it not normal. And then on the next page, we show Ro from the Boxgrove settlement with like ridiculously childbearing hips.
But she's got normal size hips.
Yeah, but we'll paint it so she doesn't. And then everyone looking at it will say, wow, I really want to pass on my seed to her and continue my bloodline. And then they'll carry on buying the Daily Mail. Okay, article about how the females are leaving it until way too late to bear children. I know a girl who is 14 and having her first child. Career women! It's like, ladies, you can't have it all. Thankfully, my niece is doing it properly. She's 12 and she's 6 months gone with her second. This one is probably going to finish her off, though. So do pop over and say hello in the next 3 months if you want to say goodbye. My cousin already has eyes on her first baby. Mark my words, in 12 years' time, romance will be in the air. Okay, next page, dirty pedos will run the same thing as last week, and finish up with something about the bloody immigrants from the next settlement, and we're done.
Their punishment is to always hear something beeping, but not be able to find what it is.
Oof, that's a bit much.
This is hell, Madeline. It's not meant to be pretty. Now, we're continuing our journey downward. Prepare yourself for the next level. We're now in the sixth circle of hell. This is where it gets serious, some real evil up ahead. On this level, you'll find all those who stopped at nothing to get their favourite boy band member to notice them. But that doesn't sound that bad. Take a look.
Hello and welcome to the programme. A recent report shows that the number of female inmates in Britain's prisons has gone through the roof. Tonight's panorama aims to find out why as we go inside the serious crimes wing of a women's prison.
Judy is just 14 and serving a life sentence in the juvenile wing of Holloway Women's Prison. I asked what led her here.
I killed a girl in my class.
What for?
Well, she said she didn't like Union J.
The boy band?
Yeah.
Is that it?
What do you need more? Anyway, that day, Josh, who's my favourite, totally at-replied me, saying I'm an abomination. So, they noticed me.
I cut a school friend's face because she said that Liam was the best member of 1D, when it's clearly Zane. She couldn't see I was right. Now she can't see.
But it isn't just teenagers. Fans of Take That have been clogging up the penal system for years.
It was 1994. I was coming up to the traffic lights and I stopped at a red light. And these two men started to cross the road. And I overheard one of them say to his friend that he thought Robbie was gay. So I ran him over in my car. I hit a couple of other people as well. Collateral damage, you know. But anyway, it didn't kill him. And it was still upsetting me to think about it, because if Robbie's gay, then how is he going to love me forever like my dad never did? So I ran him over a few more times until I was sure he'd stop breathing. But unfortunately, the paramedics arrived really quickly and they did manage to pull him through. But there's a silver lining, because that man definitely won't be saying that Robbie's gay ever again, because he's in an iron lung and his jaw's wide shut. His kids were sad, but they've got a dick for a dad. You know, better they learn that sooner rather than later. I've done them a favour, if anything.
I self-harmed to try and get Jedward to retweet me, but they didn't, so I decided to shoot everyone in my class. I managed to get everyone except Louise, because she's on the hockey team, so I thought, you know, I really want them to win on Saturday. And that asthmatic lad, Matthew, Michael, who pretended to be dead, Anyway, the next day, Jedward did a press conference about it. So there we go, Stephanie. You said they'd never notice me, but now they've done a press conference about how sorry they are that their songs have provoked such hate-filled inhuman acts. And, you're dead, and they've never heard of you, so I think I've won that one. Some of the other fans are just lazy and don't go to these lengths to get noticed. Losers.
How are you coping in prison? Have you maybe turned to religion?
No. Unquestioning belief in something isn't for me. Look at all the terrible things it makes people do. No, you've got to keep your moral compass.
You're listening to the Europa News Network, the best broadcaster on all of Jupiter's moons, as voted by you, the listeners, last solar cycle.
The time is just coming up to 10:05 midnight, so it's time for our phone-in. Immigration, it's a hot potato topic. Are there too many Earth immigrants? Is Europa full? Maybe you've lost your job to one of these humans. Give us a call. We have our first caller on the line now. This is Sadie. What are your thoughts, Sadie?
Hi, Paul. Love the show. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. I just wanted to point out that a lot of these immigrants do jobs that people from Europa just won't do. Like, who would clean the deep ocean hydrothermal vents if it weren't for immigrants? I don't see any Europans volunteering.
Excellent point, Sadie.
Not to mention the health service. If you've been in hospital recently, even for something simple like having your bioluminescent glands checked, I guarantee you'll have used toilets that have been cleaned by immigrants from Earth.
I'm going to bring Neil into the conversation. Neil, what do you have to say to Sadie?
Hi Paul. She's talking nonsense. I just got laid off, right, because they're all from Earth at the factory now, and I don't speak Chimerican.
Chimerican, of course, being the official Earth language. Sadie, Neil just lost his job because he doesn't speak Chimerican. That can't be right, surely.
What you have to remember, Paul, is that we invaded them in 2748.
You might say invaded. I prefer liberated. They were still eating physical food back then rather than reprogramming their DNA. They were basically savages.
Well, be that as it may, if you invade and colonise a planet, you can't be annoyed when the inhabitants follow you home.
Bit of a surprise now. We have an actual Earth immigrant on the line. Her name is Melissa. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
And her is correct, isn't it? Humans, of course, have two genders.
That's right, yes.
Ugh, weirdos. Why can't they just practice asexual reproduction like any normal person?
Now, Neil, I won't have abuse like that. Let's keep it civil.
Yeah, it's just a different culture. I'm sure they think agamogenesis with a fusion of the gametes is weird.
Melissa, tell us a little bit about your experience here on Europa.
Well, I came here because of all the stories, you know, Europa, moon of opportunity. I have to say that my experience has been very different. It's much colder than I'm used to, what with it being 390 million miles further from the sun than Earth. And I get yelled at to go home nearly every day, so I mostly just hang out with other humans.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, you see. They won't integrate into our culture. You've got the automatic translator on as well. They won't even learn the language.
Well, in fairness, humans don't possess a mucon valve, so a great deal of our language would be impossible for them to pronounce without extensive surgery.
Oh, so many excuses.
Well, the debate rages on. We're going to go to some commercials now, but when we get back, fortnightly bin collection. Do we really want silicon dioxide building up in our silicate water interface? Call in.
Chair of the Royal Opera House is a huge responsibility and not one I entered into lightly when I took over 5 years ago. In recent years, there has been a waning of interest in what we do, and the recession has driven a lot of custom away, let's not deny it. So, at our recent funding review, we were ordered to implement some changes in order to secure funding for the season. I can't say I'm altogether happy with them, but needs must. One of the main things that came up was that the average person on the street doesn't feel that opera speaks to them. They feel shut out in a world where most media is interactive. So above the stage, where there would usually be surtitles translating the libretto, we now have a screen which displays the audience's tweets and text in real time as the opera is being performed. It's gone down very well with audiences, although less so with some of our singers, but let's not dwell on that too much. Just last night we were showing Madame Butterfly with Maya Kovalevska as Cho-Cho, and people really got involved. Let me read you some of the texts we got. There was first, And then second, it just went on like that for a while. Then when Butterfly entered and started her first aria, I can't understand a word this bitch is saying. And then English, please. There's no way this bitch is 15. If that's what 15-year-olds look like, then I should be in prison by now. And then the next one said, why is your hand under 15? And then someone said, burn. And then five people posted a link to the local burns unit. I don't really understand all of this, but the audience seemed to be enjoying it. I mean, they were chatting so much about it during the show, I don't think they even heard Pinkerton admit he might not be in love with Cho-Cho. And there were so many text alerts going off, it nearly drowned out Ancora and Paso completely. So that's good. When Pinkerton entered, there were lots of tweets about his costume, which is nice. Soraya Parser is our costume designer, and she works tirelessly to create an authentic and yet at the same time aesthetically beautiful look for our production, so I'm sure she'll be pleased that was noticed. Let's see what we've got here. His trousers are so tight you can clearly see his dick. Why are you looking at his dick, fag? Then 26 people wrote, the Reddit army is here. I'm here from Reddit. Thumbs up if you're here from Reddit. And then, no one cares, asshole. You and the nine gaggers can suck a dick. Next season, we're doing an interactive Così Van Tutti where you can vote the characters out, and a lovely studio production of Don Giovanni, which is being renamed Haters Gonna Hate, and now has a coloratura version of Nyan Cat at the beginning of the third act. So, yeah, really looking forward to the future. Sorry, I've got something in my eye.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, Mr. Wonka? It's Arthur here. If you could give me a call back as and when you get this message, I'd be most grateful. I know you're a busy man, but this is an important business. I'm calling about yesterday's health and safety check, and I'm afraid I do need to flag a few concerns. I'll read a couple from the report to you. It is the opinion of the inspector that glass is an unsuitable material for an elevator. Steel would be preferable for the moving parts. And if the management is still keen on the elevator being transparent, they may look into clay nano sheets and a water-soluble polymer. Currently, the glass is not reinforced and represents a severe hazard in the event of a malfunction. We're going to have to take quite a hard line with this, Mr. Wonka, because I can't help noticing that all the improvements we mentioned 6 months ago have not yet been actioned. You need safety barriers around the golden egg chutes. It's a 50-foot drop! Accident waiting to happen! Now, this TV machine, that will need a 24-hour shutdown before any visitors are shown round. We're reading unacceptably high levels of radiation, which could be grounds for a lawsuit should any effects arise after they've left. We advise you to look into lead seals for all the doors. Ideally, I'd shut the whole thing down, but I know from past experience that's very unlikely. Now, please stop inviting people to lick the walls. I would have thought that was obvious. I mean, herpes, hepatitis, you name it. You're a bright man, Mr. Wonka. I'm surprised I have to go over all this. Now, you have a chocolate lake, Mr. Wonka. I hardly need to go into all the things that are wrong with that. Management recommends safety barriers and a coated tarpaulin so the chocolate isn't contaminated by organic matter. This is a matter of some urgency, Mr. Wonka, so if you could call me back. Next up is your staff. Great that you're offering work to differently abled people, but have they filled in the diversity forms? Because I can't help noticing a certain uniformity when it comes to their race, which could be a problem later down the line. So get that looked into, please. Also, no women. Could become an issue. It's basically you and the Freemasons now. You have to have some women on your staff. They're letting them command submarines these days. I don't understand it myself either, but they're everywhere. So get it seen to you, please. Anyway, if you could give me a call back and we can work with you to address these concerns. They do all need to be looked at before this golden ticket tour next week. All right, see you later. Their punishment is to feel like they've sent a horrible text to the person the text was about for eternity.
Oh, well, that's just cruel.
This is hell, Madeline. What circle will you find yourself assigned to?
Wait, so I'm definitely coming to hell?
Everything is in flux, Madeline. Nothing is ever set in stone.
So there's still a chance?
Follow me.
Ugh, stop being enigmatic. You're like those people who write opaque status updates, like, feeling so happy, thanks for today, you know who you are. Or when celebrities say, got a huge project coming up, can't reveal any more details. You know what? No one gives even a quarter of a shit. Stop trying to sound more interesting than you actually are. I'm a guide through the circles of hell. I'm allowed to sound enigmatic. I am an enigma, that's what I am. Oh, just get on with it. In the seventh circle are the fame hungry. We've had to expand this circle to meet demand.
Okay, Sadie, sorry I'm a bit late. Thanks for waiting. Would you like a glass of water before we start?
No, thanks, miss.
I will, if you don't mind. Run all the way here. Okay, so, we like to give all students starting year 10 a careers advice session before they get stuck into their GCSEs. So, we're going to fill in this form together, and then I'll be able to get a clearer idea of where you see yourself after you complete your formal education. And I'll maybe be able to give you some pointers on how you hope to achieve that.
Cool.
Well, we'll start with the obvious question. Is there anything you particularly want to be when you leave?
Yeah, I want to be famous.
Okay, so a singer?
I don't mind, really. I just want to be famous.
What for?
Oh, so that people know who I am.
No, I understand that. I wanted to know what you want to be famous for.
Oh, sorry, I understand. Money?
I'm not sure that's the best of motivation, CD. If you want to be famous for just anything, you might as well just go out and commit a load of crimes.
You've hit on it, miss. Much quicker way of getting your face on the telly.
What?
I've been sold a lie, miss. Pop Idol was broadcast when I was 2. My whole life I've been told that fame is the most significant thing anyone can achieve, and more importantly, that I deserve it, just for wanting it. But I can't sing, and I can't dance, and I'm not mentally ill in that cute, harmless way that means people can pity you and laugh while secretly feeling relieved that they're not like that. I don't have any of that going for me, but I still want it, and wanting it is supposed to be enough. I know, I've seen the programmes. So, I've decided that I'm going to kill someone. Well, several people. Killers are 10 a penny, always have been. It might get you on the front page of the locals, but if you want to make it to the nationals, the internationals and the history books, you've got to be looking at 3 or more. Serial killer sounds so much better than just playing killer anyway, doesn't it? I'm only 14 and I'm a girl, so I've got that going for me. Not your usual killer demographic. The papers will love that. I've put photos on my Facebook that look normal until you crop out everything but the eyes. Then they look really evil. Perfect for a front page. The word schoolgirl above my eyes and the word killer below. I've got it all worked out, miss, so I think I'm all right. Do I need to sign a form or...
CD, you realise I'm going to have to inform your parents about this?
Oh, it's too late for that, miss. They were numbers 1 and 2.
Right. I think I'm going to make a quick phone call.
No, miss. You're number 3.
Now, CD, no more joking around. I'm twice your size.
Oh, that doesn't make any difference, miss. Remember what they told us in our social education class? Don't ever leave your drink unattended. Now, you had that water 3 minutes ago. It takes about that long to start working. But while it takes effect, I'll just say this. Thanks, miss. You said you were going to help me become famous. And you are. You're number 3. You're going to get me on the front cover of all the newspapers. You're the best careers advisor ever.
Hi, and thank you for purchasing this tape. I'm Gloria Brookmeyer, and I'm here to tell you about The Gift. The Gift has been known about by everyone famous you can think of. Jesus, Bono. They all knew how to attract positive energy towards them, and it's that which made them famous and successful. To receive the gift, you simply have to focus on positive energy. Now, people have asked exactly what I mean by positive energy. Well, I mean a kind of cosmic force. I hope that's cleared that up. Another way to attract the gift towards you is to write what you want from the cosmos somewhere on your body. The more permanent the mark, the more the cosmos will listen. That's why I have "I don't want to die alone" tattooed on my back. It was painful, but worth it. I hope it'll be worth it. If bad things happen to you, that's simply a result of not being positive enough. I remember at one of my talks, a very angry young man with a very negative attitude stood up and said, "What about Holocaust victims, huh? Are they just attracting bad things towards them?" My answer to him was simple, yes. I then asked the cosmos to remove this negative young man from my life, and it did, through the form of my security team and later through my lawyers. Negative people are a cancer in your life, and like cancer, they should be cut out, or at least attacked with strong chemicals. I came from a very negative family, and I feel so much better now that I no longer see them, especially Josh, who, at 18 months, just wouldn't stop crying. Seriously, who can deal with negativity like that? Okay, that completes the free part of this tape. To continue, please send $50 to the address coming up.
Alison, come in.
Now, we were very impressed with your application and interview, so we'd like to offer you the job.
Oh, wow, that's great. Thank you.
Let me finish. We'd like to offer you the job, but unfortunately, we found some dubious photos of you on the internet.
Sorry?
All my online profiles are locked, and anyway, I don't really do anything dubious. What sort of thing are you talking about?
Well, this is a bit delicate, but there were one or two naked photos.
That can't be me, then. I've never done anything like that.
Well, what's that, then?
That's a picture of me in the bath when I was about 6 months old. That's my mum's old Facebook account.
There are a lot of photos here, Alison. They're all public.
Yes, she posted several photos a day.
Here's one of you with feces all up your back.
Yes, again, I must stress that this was while I was still in nappies. It was before my first birthday.
Here's one of you laughing at your brother as he's urinating into his own face. Do you think that's the sort of image we want to associate with this company?
It was 30 years ago. I was 2. He was 4 months old. It was hilarious.
Ah, but I see you have had all your vaccinations. That's good. We don't want lots of staff illnesses.
How do you know that?
I know everything, Alison. I know that you struggle to ride your bike without stabilizers and that you wet yourself on stage during the nativity play. You have no privacy. It's all documented here for anyone to see. Day-by-day updates. See, here's you crying at the doctors after your MMR jab, even though the doctor gave you a sticker saying, "Brave girl." Apparently they give them out to just anyone. And here's you sleeping it off in the car on the way home. I can even tell you what you had for dinner that night. Apple sauce. Very nice. Here's you playing with your rabbit toy in your cot, and here's you dribbling down your bib. That was all July the 12th, 2017.
Look, I was the first generation to have our baby photos on the internet. Our parents didn't really realise that the internet is forever. I think they forgot we were babies at the time, but we were also future adults. Look, please stop scrolling back.
What's this?
That's my mother's positive pregnancy test.
Am I looking at a photo of your mother's urine?
Yes.
Why would anyone want to see this?
They wouldn't.
Thank you for choosing Oak Hill Secondary School for your son or daughter. You've made the best choice for your child's future. At Oak Hill, we believe segregating children on the basis of their parents' religion just doesn't go far enough. Parents know that allowing their offspring to mix with people who are different from them can lead to some awkward questions. They might find themselves having to explain gay people or liberals, for example. We feel that children work better when they're surrounded by people just like them, and only like them. We saw the faith school model and thought, why are we segregating children purely on the grounds of their parents' religion when there are so many other ways we can separate them as well? So at Oak Hill, children are separated on the basis of faith, of course, but also gender, skin colour, sexual orientation, and their parents' political ideologies. So 4B, that's the classroom opposite my office, is just for white, straight, Pentecostal Christian boys who are blood group A positive
Conservative and whose parents vote Tory.
It looks like there are only two boys in that class.
Yes, that's right. We did have three, but we found out that one of the boys' mothers voted Green in the last election, so we had to move the little chap to 4F.
How many are in that class?
It's just him, which is great. This is the scale we use to determine which skin colour class students will be sent to when they join the school. We will move them around when they get a tan, of course. You know, we're not monsters. All students must be taught by someone who is just like them. Opening pupils up to new ideologies and viewpoints can be very dangerous. We had one teacher who didn't declare at interview that he was in a gay relationship. Now his whole class is gay. I mean, they keep insisting that they're not, but come on, that's how it works. We're making steady progress. Next year, we're separating children into left and right-handers. Boys will have separate classrooms for those whose voices have broken and those that haven't. There will be premenstrual and menstrual classes for the girls. And we'll also be keeping those born out of wedlock away from their legitimate schoolfellows. It's not been without its difficulties. Last year, we found that some Reformed Presbyterians were mixing with the Free and Evangelical Presbyterians. One girl who'd been brought up to believe in a confessional tradition started believing in a dispensationalist interpretation of the Bible. And as you can imagine, her parents were furious. But I'm happy to say those girls will never influence each other again. They're now in separate classes, and we've designated roped-off areas of the playground for each of them. The future is very bright at Oak Hill. We're hoping eventually every child will be taught in a class of just one, and that they themselves will grow up and become a teacher who will teach someone just like them, and so on. Oak Hill School, where everyone is just like you.
I first heard the voices when I was a little girl. First they just narrated what I was doing. Then they started issuing orders. At first it was just little things like telling me to stand up and shout in the middle of an exam. But then they got more sinister. Telling me to break into the teachers' cars, start fires, that sort of thing. I was expelled from several schools, as you can imagine. But no one ever got to the bottom of what was causing the problem because I didn't tell anyone about the voices. I didn't want everyone thinking I was crazy. But it's gone on too long, so now I'm asking for help. I have no friends, I can't get a job, and so I'm just reaching out. Is there any way you can help me?
I'm afraid it's going to have to be a no from me, sweetheart. You're just not what we're looking for in this competition.
But please, I need this.
Look, you were quite entertaining, but the standard of mental illness this year is very high. Probably the highest it's ever been. What you're doing might have cut it 5 years ago, but you need something more in today's competition. Have you got anything else prepared?
I think I also have body dysmorphia.
Yeah, I think we've heard enough. It's a no from me as well.
Yeah, sweetheart, I think you're great, but what you're doing, we've seen a million times before. We need some really unusual mental eccentricities before we put you through. You got three no's, darling.
It's been a tough day for our judges, who are yet to find a candidate who is just disturbed enough to be entertaining, but not mentally ill enough to be frightening. Let's see who's up next.
Hello, hello, I'm Judith. I don't have a surname. I got rid of it when Mum died. I looked after her for 30 years, and I still sleep in my childhood bedroom.
Oh, do you have a boyfriend, Judith?
Oh, no! I don't do any of that sort of thing. I became a woman when I was 12. When my mum found out, she was furious. So I stuck a whole roll of toilet paper up there and I left it there for 2 months. And now I can't have children.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think you're just the sort of person we're looking for on this show.
Can I just ask Simon, could I touch your hand, please? Because I've never touched a male before.
Save it for boot camp, sweetheart. You're through.
Through where?
I agree with everything that's been said. I think you're hysterical.
I can get hysterical, yes.
You embody this competition. You know, you're kooky, you're fearless.
No, I get frightened of quite a lot of things. Sometimes at night, I think the darkness is a heavy weight on my face and it might suffocate me. So I just lie awake for hours so that I don't die.
Let me tell you what I like about you. You don't make people feel guilty for laughing. You laugh as well, so I can feel like I'm laughing with you.
I do laugh a lot, yes. Sometimes I can't stop laughing and it frightens me.
Exactly. You're just what we need in this competition. Just sign this release form so we can broadcast this conversation to millions of people.
Oh, I'm not allowed to sign legally binding forms. I have to have my guardian present.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, okay then.
punishment is to look for a parking space for eternity. Look, I get it, okay? You're telling me not to be an arsehole, basically. But I'm not! So what's the point of all this? You were on the front page of the newspapers kicking a homeless person.
Oh, for goodness sake, that was taken completely out of context. What happened was, I was on the election campaign and he shouted something about how I'd shut down the factory he worked in or something. I couldn't really understand his accent. And so I forcefully encouraged him to move along.
With your feet?
Yes, I'm not going to touch him with my hands.
I can see we need to carry on down. Maybe what lies ahead will scare you enough to change your ways.
Well, I highly doubt it, but do your worst.
In the next episode of Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy...
Wasn't it just more natural when women routinely died during childbirth? I'm sick of all this medical intervention making sure women don't die.
Welcome to the new rebranded Sky at Night.
Does anyone actually use libraries anymore? Get a Kindle, for goodness sake.
Benedict Cumberbatch goes back in time and teams up with Jesus to solve the mystery of who would betray him.
I can't possibly deserve that. Why are we still going? Where am I going to end up?
You'll see. Divine Comedy was written and performed by Gemma Arrowsmith. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Sound effects by Soundjay. All other episodes are available on iTunes and Audioboo. For more information, visit gemmaarrowsmith.com.